Several weeks ago, when things started getting a little bit more chaotic in the economic situation, I couldn't help but think about this particular psalm, and I just really wanted to bring this to you as a reminder that no matter what happens around us, there is certainty in the midst of uncertainty. And there is plenty of things around us that cause uncertainty. In fact, just think with me for a moment. If you were to turn on the TV, you would probably be aware of some of these things, even this morning. It's no secret that we live in greatly uncertain times. The stock market has plunged. Home values have plunged. The cost of education, where we're going to be sending our son this next week, it's extremely high. Financial stability in our country is not good. The job market is tough. Unemployment is still high. Gas prices have soared. Retirement plans have gone from 401ks to maybe 101ks now. Moral climate in our own country has spiraled downward. The political scene in the Middle East as well as Europe is unpredictable. Safety from terrorist attacks is questioned. They could be tourists too, all right? Uncertainty of life and health in general. Trying to predict natural disasters, tsunamis, earthquakes, floods, droughts, fires. People wonder why we can't catch all of them all the time. There's no way to be certain when all of those disasters will happen. It is no wonder that people today are facing stress, are getting worried and anxious and fearful. It kind of makes you want to crawl in a hole this morning, doesn't it? It makes you want to keep your TV turned right off. Don't even look at the news or listen to the news. But that's no way to live. We need to live as joyful individuals who have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can take hope from God's Word this morning in the midst of all of that uncertainty. Today I'm going to teach from a song. Not the song, A Bridge Over Troubled Waters, which some of you would know. Not Jesus Takes the Wheel. No, not some of those songs that you may be familiar with today. But from song number 46 in our text before us. It is a wonderful song. It's set up with three verses and a chorus. In fact, if you have your outlines, you can just take a look and see that verses 1 through 3 is the first verse. And then there's a pause. Selah means basically, let's let the instruments sort of play a little bit and let's think about what we just learned. Then there's verse 2. And then you have a chorus in verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. And then you have another pause. Instruments, take it away. And we think about that. Then you have verse 3, verses 8 through 10, with another chorus, verse 11, and another pause to reflect on what you've learned. So today, with that as kind of as our backdrop, I'd like to read Psalm 46. Again, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, with some choruses, with some pauses. I won't sing it for you, but I'll read it for you. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Pause. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High God dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. Here's the chorus. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. the God of Jacob is our fortress. Obviously, as you've already heard, Martin Luther penned the famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And I understand when he faced tremendous times of stress and trial, he would come running back to the psalm, read it, and then sing the song that he had penned the words to in response to it. The context may have been, this may have been a psalm where God delivered the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem at a time when the Assyrian king Sennacherib attacked. We don't know. That could have been the basis for it. But in any case, if you were to look at a map this morning and notice the nation of Israel, what's surrounding the nation of Israel? Do they have a few enemies? Enemies on every side. Enemies all around. You have a nation that is small and outnumbered, overwhelmed with enemies all around them. And we find throughout the Old Testament there was constantly this fear of attack from enemies that surrounded them. And so in the midst of their uncertainties, in the midst of fear of attacks, we find here that the psalmist has penned this song to be sung. And so let's look at the verse number one, or stanza one, and we find hope for today. We can be certain of God's protection. Verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. I love where it says God is our refuge. Not just for the people back in Old Testament times, but He is our refuge today. This song is very relevant to where we live today. He is our refuge, a shelter that provides protection from danger. Yesterday we were driving down Randall Road. We were riding with Naomi. Of course, Naomi's mother was with her and her grandparents on the other side. Naomi is our grandchild, 3 months old, and so we enjoy. In fact, as they were traveling up to visit us for a couple days, I kept texting. I said, how long before Naomi gets here? And they said, how about us? What about us? I said, okay, we'll include you on that too, but when are you all going to get here? But we were driving down Randall Road to go out to lunch, and we noticed people out there holding some signs for discounts at certain stores. And above their head was a huge storm looming. And we're all looking out there, and they said, they better get to shelter. I mean, their storm is coming. We get a few drops on the windshield, and we're driving down there. We got inside our place, and then it just let loose. They had to find a shelter. Folks, when we face the struggles and challenges and trials of life, we need to know that we have a shelter to run to. And here the text before us, it says, God is our shelter. He is an awesome shelter, an awesome protector when we need the help. There's a brief sampling in the Old Testament. This theme or this idea is all throughout it. Deuteronomy 33, you don't need to turn to it, but Deuteronomy 33:27 says this, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." In other words, we're running to Him, we're placing our lives into His hands, and we know that He has powerful arms to hold us up. What a refuge He is. The psalm starts with the idea He is our refuge, and it ends with the idea or the concept that God is our fortress. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. And in Psalm 91, verse 2, it says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God in whom I will trust." Both concepts brought out there. Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust." He's not only our refuge, He is our strength. He is our strength. He is the defense of His people. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. A while back, Michael was in Major League Baseball. It was his second year. He was not the oldest. I think the oldest is 12 years of age. So he was an 11-year-old at that time. And the 12-year-olds on his team were the biggest in the league. I mean, one guy was taller than the coaches, and another guy was bigger physically than all the coaches. It was kind of fun to have him on our team. It was intimidating to the other players, to all the other things. In fact, they probably wanted to check his birth certificate every time he came out there. Some of these guys, and they were all pitchers as well. So not only were they menacing at the plate, they were menacing as they were throwing the ball in faster than anybody else in the league. It's not bad to have one of those kind of kids on your side. But you know what? It's greater to have a God on our side. When we're facing the challenges of life, when we're facing the trials, when the enemies are right at the doorstep, it's great to know that God is our refuge. We can run to Him, and He is a stronghold. He is there with great strength. Notice again verse 1. We could just spend all of our time in verse 1, but we won't. Notice what it says, an ever-present help in trouble. He's very accessible. Whenever you have trouble, God is available. Whenever you have difficulties, God can be there. He's accessible, ready and willing to act on your behalf. He is available to you. I love what it talks about. When it talks about trouble here, it says, trouble has the idea of in tight places. Whenever you're in tight places, God is available. That's nice to know. Do you ever get in tight places? Absolutely. God is available. But what do? We often run to our friends, run to counselors, run to family, and we neglect God when God is the greatest source of strength. But notice, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we do not have to fear. We don't have to let the circumstances stress us out and give us all kinds of problems. We don't have to bury ourselves in the sand. We don't have to fear in the most terrifying circumstances of life. And in case you missed that, the author of this psalm says, you know what? Let's imagine the worst case scenario. I believe he uses hyperbole at this point. He thinks of the worst catastrophic events that ever could ever happen. And still, He's there as our protector. Suppose the earth melts and if caught in a flow of a gigantic volcano. Suppose an earthquake would toss the mountains in the sea. Suppose a flood of water would roar and foam over all the land. Suppose the mountains would stagger and with wild convulsions be torn down. You know, he's using imagery there that they would have been aware of. The roaring sea, the mountains all around, the quaking, the surging. But again, he's using them, if you could just imagine the worst case scenario. God is there and there's no need to fear. I think he uses the fact of the mountains because if you've ever been to a place where there's a high mountain and maybe you've trekked up to the very top, it's the picture, the image, a wonderful image of stability and just grandeur and splendor and power. And so here he's saying, even if that which you count as the strongest stronghold falls or crumbles, still God is there and there's no need to fear. And then notice the word Selah. It's the idea, think about that. Think about the fact that you have a God who is your protector. That is awesome. And he says, think about that for a moment. Let the music play. Even in the most serious calamities of life, He is your security. He is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Second, the second stanza then goes on and says, we can be certain of God's presence, verses 4 through 6. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations roar, kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice, the earth melts. I've put in your notes this morning, here we see a contrast between the city of God, blessed by the presence of God, which is symbolized by the river and streams. And then we see on the other side the noisy nations around and the crumbling and the falling away. As we look at the figure of the river, there was no river flowing right into the city of Jerusalem. I think the river, the idea there, in fact, if you have an NIV study Bible, you have a note at the bottom there, and it mentions the fact that it's kind of a metaphor for the continual sustaining grace and presence of the Lord. The river, I believe, is a symbol of the presence of Yahweh, God, blessing and gladdening His city by His presence. Think with me for a moment. If you have a stronghold, and you have a strong walls, and you have a great army, and you have great defense, and yet you don't have the most essential elements, that of food or water, you're in a heap of trouble. And so there, I believe that in the midst of the city, it's mentioning here as God is representing, the river is representative of God and His presence with His people, sustaining and providing grace and blessing them with His presence. It goes on and talks about it's the dwelling where He is. He is there with Him. He will not let them fall. God is not an absentee deliverer. He's not a defense that is there sometimes and then He walks out on you. The Lord is with His people, protecting them, providing all that they need. And then He goes on into the chorus. The Lord Almighty, we saw that on the screen earlier. The Lord Almighty, or the Lord of hosts, the Commander-in-Chief is with you. There's no worries. Relax. Think about that for a moment. Think about it. God is with us. His presence is there. He's our protector, and He's providing His presence and supplying all that you need. The third stanza is found in verses 8 through 10. We see we can be certain of God's position. And it's very clear that God is in control. God is in charge. God is sovereign. He will be exalted, it goes on to say. But it says, the desolations He has brought on the earth. Desolations has the idea of terror or wonder. Can you imagine the enemies of God when God shows forth His power? It's terror. But from God's people's perspective, when God comes and acts with all of His wonderful deeds, it's wonderful. It's awesome. The psalmist exhorts the saints, his people, to observe God's mighty deeds. And these deeds are awesome. Look at verse 10 for just a moment. All around us is chaos. But the psalmist kind of builds it to a crescendo at the end of verse 10 from the text, but it's the third verse of the song. And he says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still. It has the idea of stop striving, be still, or literally relax. Relax. God has it under control. Acknowledge that He is in control and trust Him. How many here watched the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, or saw some of the games of that? Okay, some of you did, all right? The World Cup, it's soccer. And I was not watching much of it until one day I happened to flip on the TV and it was the women were playing. I forgot even the team that they played, but it got them on to the next round and it was just getting toward the end of the game. And they were behind by a goal. And it was really stressful. I was sitting there on the edge of my seat like, oh no, we're losing. It's getting down to the end of the game. But they scored a goal, got a header at the end of the game, and then it went on to overtime, and then the USA won it in overtime, or in penalty kicks, and to continue on. I remember later on that night, I had been recording it, and so Michael came home, and then I pulled out the recording, and I said, you got to see this. I'm not going to tell you what's happening, but I want to play this for you. I was in a different position at that point when I played it back to my son. During the game, I was on the edge of my seat. I was nervous. I was not relaxed at all. I kind of get into sports a little bit. I was cheering them on. I was like, come on, you guys, come on. They scored the goal. They won the game. And then I was like, wow. I was like, okay. When I was showing them the game to Michael, I was really relaxed. I was like, yeah, I know how it ends. I know how it ends. So I could relax, even through the stress of it all. Even if it was down to the last second, I knew how it ended. I knew how it ended. And you know what? That's how we can be so confident in our God. We know how things end. We know the end of the book. We know the end of the Bible. We know that God is in charge, and His ways and His plan will follow through, and God will not be defeated. He is sovereign. Obviously, there's much application. First of all, we don't have to fear no matter what may happen to us. I don't know what may come into your life this coming week. I don't know what's come into your life last week. But no matter what you face, even the worst case scenario, you don't have to fear. That's a great comfort to me. Second, with things that are changing and threatening all around us, focus on God and not your circumstances. That's really what this psalm does for us. It says, you know what? Take your eyes off all the stuff around you and look at God. The songs today that were prepared were wonderful because they helped us to look at God. He's our rock. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He is awesome. Look to Him. And that ought to do something for us as we leave this place with renewed confidence and security, knowing that our God is great. Run to Him. And third, our security needs to be in God and not in the things of this world. Trust Him, not your finances. Trust Him, not your strength. Trust in Him, not anything that this world says is worthwhile hanging on to. Trust in Him. He is our refuge and strength. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful again for this great reminder. You are a great God, and sometimes we get so bent out of shape. We are running around fretting and stewing and anxious and fearful and complaining about all the things that are happening in our life. But Father, this morning, this song, Psalm 46, challenges us, reminds us, gives us hope and encouragement in the midst of everything around us. If everything failed, we still have You. And we thank You for that hope and that encouragement. And Father, today, if there's someone here that has come with great weight on their shoulders, maybe just overwhelmed by life, and maybe they're ready to just throw in the towel and say it's just not worth it all, God, please encourage their hearts today. Lift them up. May they take refuge in You. If there is someone here this morning that has never put their trust in Jesus Christ, may the circumstances around us show them that we cannot trust in our own self, in our own strength, but we need to run to You. And You are worthwhile. You've never proven us wrong. Thank You for all You've done. We commit these things to You in Jesus' name. Amen.